Welcome to this week's episode of She Talks Tech podcast. My name is Vanessa Vallely and I'm the founder of We Are Tech Women. This week we are talking about male allyship and how it can accelerate the careers of women. We will be discussing why allyship is so important, what good looks like, and how we can all be allies to each other.
Everyone knows that the success of your career can be greatly affected by the strength of the relationships you have at work, be that with your peers, your bosses, your clients, or other key stakeholders. In this episode of She Talks Tech, we hear from author, speaker, and professional relationship strategist, Andy Lopata. Andy explores the fundamentals of building, nurturing, and leveraging strong professional relationships. Plus, he gives some practical advice for achieving our full potential with the support of those around us.
Just before the pandemic, I was launching a new project for my business, and my coach had to really push me to get on the phone and ask people to get involved. Even though I knew the people that I wanted to approach, and I'd known many of them for years, I was prevaricating because, you know, we always create these blocks in our minds that stop us taking the action we need to do. But eventually I did it. And I started phoning leaders in businesses around the world that I had a relationship with and asking them to go on this journey with me. And I was amazed and delighted as they all took my call. They were all very busy people. They all heard me out, and the response to my ideas was overall very positive. One of those people particularly made an impression on me. She was a board director at a multinational company. You would know them, very well-known organization. And I put my idea to her, and she was in just like that. And she said, "I'm in for just one reason." And I asked what the reason was. And she said, "Andy, it's you. I trust you, and if you're putting this together, I know it will be of value." And those words really resonated with me, because I don't think that I really had enough faith in the relationships I'd built over the years. But when I look at what I've achieved in my career, all of it's been on the back of the relationships I've built, on the back of people having trust in me, having faith in me, believing in me. And you can do exactly the same. When you work in technology particularly, people tend to steer clear to a large degree of networking activity. That word strikes fear into the hearts of many and disgust into the hearts of others. When we hear the term networking, we have visions of people exchanging business cards and elevator pitches over cold canapes and warm wine. We immediately think of manipulation and game playing and all these negative things. But that's not what networking is. Networking events have their role for sure, but they may not be the place for you. And even if they are, they're merely a tool in the process. It's the same with LinkedIn and other sites. Networking is about building a network of strong professional relationships, a network of relationships where you support them and they support you. And if you have those relationships in place, you have a network of people who will elevate you, who will lift you and help you along with your journey. They will make it easier for you to do your job effectively and progress in your career. And it's not all about that network helping you. That's where a lot of the negative connotations come in. It's a virtuous cycle of people supporting each other, of one person helping another and that person helping someone different, and you getting back that help from elsewhere again. A network of people all working together. My favourite quote comes from a lady called Elizabeth Asquith Bibesco. She was a poet and author. She was the daughter of the former British Prime Minister. And Elizabeth Asquith Bibesco said, "Blessed are they who give without remembering and receive without forgetting." It's never a quid pro quo. It's about helping those you can help and seeking help from those who can help you. Over time, you can build a professional relationship strategy where you build a network of relationships with people who are in a position to help you. You develop those relationships so that those people want to help you. And you educate those people so you have relationships with people who understand how to help you. And that's what we're going to focus on over the next few minutes. So the first thing we need to look at when we look at an effective professional relationship strategy is building the right relationships with the right people. So the first thing we have to consider is our mindset, our approach to doing this. Because if you go too far on one extreme, you can be much too strategic about seeking those relationships. If you go too far on the other extreme, you can be too relationship focused, only looking to build relationships with the people you naturally like with no ultimate end in mind. We have to be comfortable that we're doing this for a professional purpose. Otherwise, it's just social relationships. But at the same time, not do it in a way that feels forced and manipulative. Getting a balance between the two is key. Let's look at the extremes either way. A number of years ago, I went to a conference at Wembley Stadium, and it was a global conference for the football industry called SoccerX. And you had all of the top football clubs in the world would attend, and all of the suppliers to the top football clubs would attend. And over the course of the session, you looked at people as they walked around the room, and they weren't making eye-to-eye contact, they were making eye-to-badge contact. They were looking at those laminated name badges that people wore around their necks and looking at them and going, are you relevant to me? There was even a case where I found myself talking to someone from Germany. The conversation must have lasted all of 45 seconds because it took him that long to find out that I wasn't who he wanted to talk to. But in the same time, I found out who he did want to talk to, and that was commercial directors of Premier League football clubs. If he had talked to me for a little bit longer, he might have found out that an old friend of mine was at that event as well. And can you guess what he did for a living? He was the commercial director of a Premier League football club. But he wasn't interested. He'd looked at my badge. He'd worked out I wasn't relevant, and he made his excuses. He said to me, would you excuse me, Andy? There's someone over there I have to talk to. He walked off 5 yards and got on his phone. I was still standing there. That's where you're too strategic, where you're not allowing the relationship, the conversation to develop. And people do notice. You've probably heard of Henry Kissinger. Henry Kissinger was Secretary of State in the US government under President Nixon and others, a very, very well-known statesman in the US. And Henry Kissinger was in the army in the Second World War, and he met someone called Fritz Kramer. And Fritz Kramer became effectively his first mentor. And in 1958, as Kissinger's career was really taking off, he was an associate professor at Harvard. He was being invited to advise the White House. He was in demand from several different directions. Fritz Kramer wrote a letter to him, and this is what he said. You are beginning to behave in a way that is no longer human, and people who admire you are starting to regard you as cool, perhaps even cold. You see too many important and not enough real people. So there are two examples of why you can't be too strategic. But if you go too far the other way and you only build relationships with people who you have a rapport with, who you get along with, without any focus on what you're trying to achieve with the help of those people, then you'll miss out on tremendous opportunities. So my answer is to be clear about what you want to achieve. Understand the support you need in your career. Understand in different positions, who are the people who you need to support you, who can influence on your behalf, who can make introductions for you, who can give you information, insight and ideas, or who are involved in implementing decisions, implementing the work that you want to influence. And know who it is that you know well and you have a good relationship with, and ask yourself, am I asking them the right questions? So you need to understand what you're trying to achieve in your role, where you're trying to get to in your career, and who you need to help you, who can make the road ahead a lot clearer, who can influence on your behalf, who can introduce you to key people, who can give you information, insight, and ideas that will better equip you along the way? And who are the implementers, the people that are putting things into action who you want to support you on that journey. Once you know who those people are, seek to develop the relationships with them. At the same time, you can also be developing relationships with people simply because you have a rapport, simply because you have things in common, simply because you look at the world the same way. Not because they can definitely help you, but because you're growing a network of relationships with people you like. And you can share the journey together. And in some cases, as I said earlier, you'll help them. And in other cases, they may be able to help you. So we need to develop a network of strong professional relationships that is strategically placed to support us on our journey, but without losing our authenticity and our humanity along the way. So once we understand where we're going to build the right relationships, the next thing to understand is what a relationship looks like. You see, I think we get things wrong. And we see networks, particularly in a very black and white binary way. Someone's either in your network or they're out of it. We hear people say, what's the average size of a network, or how big a network can you have? And I think this misunderstands exactly what a network looks like. You see, a network isn't just a box of people that you carry around with you. I think actually a network looks like this. There are 7 stages to professional relationships. And I'm obviously talking quite generically here because there'll be many nuances between these stages and you could probably make a much more complicated design if you wanted to. But let's simplify it to 7 stages. The first step is where you recognize each other. You might have met at an event before and you then bump into each other again a few weeks later and you remember that conversation. But that doesn't last for long. So the first thing you have to do is build a wall behind you so that people stay within your network. And that's by following up effectively after that initial conversation. I always suggest an approach known as 24/7/30. Follow up within 24 hours, again after a week, and again after a month. 3 different two-way touch points, two-way points of communication. And people will remember you for a lot longer. They'll stay in your network and then you can take them on the journey through your network into a position where you have a deep, trusted relationship. So stage 2 is where you know each other. You understand what you do, what you stand for, who that person actually is. Then we get to the point where we like and we trust each other. These two can be interchangeable. You can probably throw respect in there as well. And then we move on to what I call the sweet spot, levels 5 and 6. The sweet spot is where people are your supporters or they advocate on your behalf. A supporter is someone who, if you need their help and support, you can pick up the phone and ask for it. An advocate is someone where you don't even have to pick up the phone. They're there in meetings, in promotion panels, wherever it may be, talking about you and putting you forward for the right roles. And then we move into personal networks where people become friends. Always nice when it happens, but it's not our goal from professional relationship building. So you can see a shift in mindset when we move from just an exchange of business cards and thinking you're in each other's network to taking people on that journey to where they become supporters and advocates. So how can you achieve that? How can you get there? Well, here's just a few quick ideas. Number 1, commonality and vulnerability. What do I mean by that? I already talked earlier about where you have rapport and interests in common with people. Try and find out what you share in common, whether it's work experiences, whether it's mutual connections, whether it's interests, whether it's background. If you know you share things in common with people, it's easier to connect on a natural level. But also share your vulnerability. Let people see the real you. Don't pretend to be something you're not. And where people see vulnerability in others, it can often bring them closer to them because they want to help, they want to support, they want to put an arm around you. The second is what I call the eye test. Look at your communication with people. Look at the emails you send, your LinkedIn connection requests, anything else, and count up how many times you use the word I against how many times you use the term you or the term we. You should be communicating by talking about the other person or the two of you together, not just about yourself. if you only focus on yourself, people aren't going to be drawn towards you. People are interested in people who are interested in them. Third is to interact with no agenda. Reach out to them when you don't need something. Reach out to them just to say, we haven't spoken for a while. How are you? What are you working on? When we reach out with no agenda, when 80% of our communication is about the other person and not about us, then when we do need something, it's more natural for people to want to support us. Next, exceed expectations. If you're involved professionally, go the extra mile for people. They will remember that. It will stand out for them. So always think, how far can I go in a meaningful way to support others? The next is consistent and frequent communication. It's not just about connecting once or a few times to get them through the network and then ignoring them. Certainly, the deeper they are in your network, the more likely it is that you can leave long gaps without communicating. But if you have consistent and frequent communication, particularly if that communication is meaningful in one way or another, then people will be there for you when you need their help and support. And finally, play where they play. If they're active on LinkedIn, engage with them on LinkedIn. If they tweet a lot, engage with them on Twitter. It doesn't matter what you're interested in. If you want to build the relationship, it matters what they're interested in. So now you've built the right relationships with the right people. You've developed those relationships into a place where people like you and they trust you and they are happy to support you. Then you need to be able to ask for that support and leverage effectively those professional relationships. Now, this is the hardest part for most people because we put all of the time and the effort into building those relationships and we feel too awkward about asking for the help and support that we need. So let's understand what stops us, first of all. And I think there's three things that stop us from asking for help. The first thing that stops us from asking for help is we don't want to be a burden to other people. And many of you may feel that this resonates with you, that you don't want to be a pain in the backside. Let's put it in colloquialism to a degree. We don't want to be a pain to others, a burden to others. I want to turn that on its head. I'd like you to think about people who you've helped recently. They may be friends or family members. It may be on a professional level, professional contacts. But I want you to think of someone you've helped recently. And if you can't think of someone, by the way, that's where you start after today, not by asking for help, but by seeking to support your network. But hopefully you've now got someone in mind. How did it go? How did it work out? Did it work out well? And how did it make you feel? When I ask that of a live audience, the most common responses I get are, it made me feel good. I got pleasure from it. It made me feel great. It made me feel fantastic. It's always, or pretty much always, positive emotions associated with helping other people. Can you see the disconnect here? We get pleasure from helping others, and yet we don't ask others for their help because we don't want to be a burden to them. In fact, are we actually being selfish and we're denying them the pleasure of helping us? I'll come back to what needs to be in place in order to give them the pleasure of helping us, to make it something that they want to help us time and again shortly. But just park that for a moment. Are we denying people the pleasure of helping us rather than not being a burden to them? Secondly, we don't want to be seen as weak and vulnerable. And the problem there is equating the term vulnerability with weakness. Vulnerability isn't weakness. Vulnerability is a strength. It takes courage to admit you don't know all of the answers. And if you get the answers and the help and the support that you need, it's easier to reach your objective, which makes you stronger. Yes, you can ask for the help in ways that make you look weak, and you can ask for the help in the ways that make you look strong. It can be the difference between, I'm really struggling, I don't know what I'm doing, and everything goes wrong. What do I do? Or, I'm really enjoying what I'm doing at the moment, but I think I want a greater challenge. I want to put myself forward for the next role, but I just want to make sure I'm well positioned to do it. Could you help guide me? One sounds weak, one sounds strong. It doesn't automatically mean that asking for help makes you look weak, and certainly don't think of vulnerability as a weakness. And thirdly, we don't ask for help because we assume. We assume people don't want to help us or aren't able to help us. It's not your job to make that decision on other people's behalf. Let them make that decision. Just make it easy for them to say no. Make it easy for them to say no, communicate to them that it's okay, but also make it easy for yourself to hear that no and not see it as a rejection. There may be many reasons why people aren't able to help you or aren't in a position to do so at that time, but don't just assume it's because they don't rate you or like you or trust you. There can be many other reasons. So just make it okay for yourself to know that you might ask people for their help and support. They won't always say yes, but if you do make it easy for them, they're more likely to. So let's go back to that point about how you make it pleasurable for people to help you. There are three things that you can do to ensure that they're in a position to give you that support that you need. The first is to understand how strong your relationship with them really is. So you wouldn't necessarily ask a stranger for some help that's going to take them a lot of time and effort to do and be based on trust. But someone you've got a deep, long-term trusted relationship with, they'll be delighted to. The second, make it easy for them to help you. Make it really simple. Paint a picture in their mind's eye of who you want to meet or the help that you need from them. But don't make it a crowd scene. I was approached by someone recently who asked me to help find an internship for their son. And I said, well, where would they like to work? And they said, well, anywhere. And I always teach anywhere or anyone gets you nowhere or no one. That's a crowd scene. You can't see any individual pictures. So all the work is on my shoulders. I said, give me some specific companies. I got a list of about 30. I want a list of 5. Because then that directs my action. It makes it easy for me to do that work. You do the filtering for other people. You go back to them with a specific request and they will be delighted to help and support you. And thirdly, show that you appreciate their support. Give them feedback. Let them know how things are progressing. And if things turn successful, remember to go back to them and thank them. And if something comes off that 3 years later, because of that introduction, go back and show your gratitude and appreciation again. It doesn't have to be convoluted and complex and expensive. It can be a phone call, an email, a handwritten card. But showing that you appreciate people makes a world of difference. If any of you have seen some of my presentations for We Are the City, where I'm sat in my office delivering the presentation, you'll see behind me thank you cards, loads of them. Because I never throw them away. Because where people have shown that appreciation, it means the world to me. So when I talk about leverage your network, it's about understanding that people get pleasure from supporting you if you can get past your own mental blocks in asking for it and you make it easy and enjoyable for them to do so. Then it's just about understanding the help and support that you need and who can get you there. So we started out by looking at the stages that you need to follow in terms of building a professional relationship strategy. I talked about the need to have a network of relationships with people who are in a position to help you. And that's about getting that balance between strategic mindset and relationship mindset, knowing who you need to meet, but doing so in an authentic way and also building relationships with people just because it feels natural to do so. Then we talked about the importance of having that network of relationships with people who want to help you. And that's the nurturing piece, moving people away from just being in your network or out, or just recognizing or knowing you, through to being your supporters and your advocates. And then we talked about having a network of relationships with people who understand how to help you. And that's the leverage piece. Overcoming those mental blocks that get in the way of asking for help and then making it easy and pleasurable for people to help and support us. If you follow those three steps, you will end up with a network of relationships with people who, when you ask for their support or you ask them to come on a journey with you, they say immediately they would be delighted to, and for just one reason, you.
Andy, thank you so much for being my guest on this episode of She Talks Tech. And thanks to all of you for listening. We really appreciate it. If you want to find out more about Andy, you can connect with him on LinkedIn or other social channels. Please do subscribe and rate the podcast and give it that all-important 5-star review. And keep listening every Wednesday morning for a new episode of She Talks Tech.